Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky has been teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Patience is what you do between the seed time and the harvest. Patience is not passive. The things of God usually are not passive. That is when the Bible says, wait on the Lord. He's saying, do the work of waiting. In life, apart from seasons, there are measures. And until you feel a particular measure in a particular season, you don't move into the next. There are things that God wants to accomplish in your life before He brings forth your harvest. And for you to reach that point, you have to continue doing the things that you know to do that is right without running about looking for your own blessing by your own hands. Listen, God has given everybody a good assignment for a season. You don't negotiate with God with your righteous works. You do it absolutely in faith, knowing that when He decides that the clouds are full, when He decides that your due season has come, He will pour blessing upon you.
Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Okay, let's start again by reading from Hebrews chapter 6. In previous times, we read verse 12, which says, be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And last time, we examined that word patience extensively, realizing that patience before God is an active process, not a passive process. There is something that you are doing that the Bible calls patience. If you're walking and you continue walking righteously while waiting for the manifestation of God's abundant blessings, the Bible says that you are walking patiently before God. Now, but what we want to read today is further down from verse 17. It said, in the same way, it was referring to how men make promises. It said, in the same way, God desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of His purpose, interposed with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge will have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. Now, what I want to talk about today is still in line with what we've been talking about, building a great future today. Now, as we have understood, when we say building a great future today, that expression emphasizes that your great tomorrow is determined today. Your great tomorrow will not be determined when you get there. It is determined today. Now, there's something I want to add, which we discussed in previous times. I want to refresh our memories about it. And that's the fact that that great future actually was determined and proposed by God before you were born. Paul explained something. He said, God who knew me from my mother's womb and consecrated me. You have to understand that. God spoke to Jeremiah. He said, before you were born, I knew you and I formed you. What he was saying is this, there is a purpose for which I formed you. He told Jeremiah, I have already made you a prophet to the nations. It's important we understand this, that really in our lives, we are not creating something. We are stepping into what God has already prepared. It's important we understand that. And what Satan tries to do in life, and this will kind of connect with what we said last week, what Satan tries to do in life is to take you away from the plan of God for your life. This is important we understand it. Because the Bible says that all have sinned and have fallen short as a consequence of their sin of the glory of God. What is the glory of God? The glory of God is that place that God appointed you to be in life. That is, before you were born, God recognized that there is something that needs to be done, and I have prepared a special person to step into that, and I will bless that person with my blessing. Do you understand what I'm going to say here? So, for example, let's use very practical terms. I want to use biblical stories for first. You take somebody like Moses. Before he was born, God ordained that he would be the deliverer of Israel. Now, when he went ahead and did that, he was honored more than his brethren because he stepped into God's purpose for his life. So when we're talking about building a great future today, I want to correct something properly in our minds. It is not that we are creating something that had not existed before we were born. Actually, God planned your life before you were born. Get that clear? And it's important you understand this, because if you live life like that, you will understand how important it is to walk in a manner pleasing to God. I was saying something, that what Satan tries to do is to steal you away from that promise of God. And that is very, very important. And how he does it is by causing you to go into sin and causing you to go into iniquity. Do you understand my point? That's why Paul said, all sinned and then As a consequence, they fall short of God's glory. They can no longer step into where God wants them to get into. Let me sound a note of warning here again. One of the problems with men is that when they begin to prosper, they can now afford many of the vices they couldn't afford before. Now, a lot of men who don't commit some kinds of sins, it's because they can hardly afford it. Now, this point I want you to understand from there. The danger here is this. I call it the danger of prosperity. Is that those men, when they begin to prosper, certain things that were hidden in their hearts begin to manifest. Now, this is a problem. When they begin to sin certain sins, it caps them away from prosperity beyond that level. Let me say this again. Sometimes we look at it and say, maybe Nigerians have not gotten very far in certain things, or some people can't go far in certain areas. The reason why they can't go far is not because they do not have the inherent ability to prosper to a particular level, and then instead of going forth to increase their vision, increase the place they can get to in life, they suddenly begin to digress, or let me say, to depart away from that thing that has brought them to prosperity. Do you understand my point? That is, what Satan does is to entice them away from stepping into God's real glory. Now, a lot of people who have prospered in life never really got to where God wanted them to get to. Do you get my point? Now, you have to understand this. You can impress people who have not seen something better than what you have done, when in reality, you stopped far short of where God wanted you to get to. You understand what I'm trying to say there? Now, it's very common. Now, the commonest one I see amongst men is that they prospered and then suddenly they became womanizers because they now have a lot of money. And unfortunately in life, it is sad, but it's a fact. A lot of women are very cheap. Now, what it means is that they don't realize the substance inside them, so they fall for small amounts of money. Do you get my point? And let me just say this. As a young woman, if you really understand where God wants to take you to in life, you will not fall for every small amount of money. In fact, money will be too small to buy you. The only thing that will be able to buy you in life is when you finally find a man who is walking in the direction of God's purpose for your life. Then you jump. You understand what I'm trying to say? But most people do not have any esteem of themselves. In fact, one of the things I have found out is that a lot of men who enter into courts to make money, they can never help it but participate in iniquity. It is not their fault anymore. There is a spirit they have drank into when they were entered into the court so as to prosper. And what that spirit does is to send them into the world to pollute as many young women as possible. So the man flashes 10,000 bucks and the young girl is impressed, not knowing that her destiny is worth billions if we were to quantify it in money. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? So what Satan does is to try and take people away from their destiny with iniquity. When men sin, they are no longer able. What sin does is to remove your ability to succeed. That is a fact. That is a spiritual fact. Sin removes your ability to do well in life. Oh, you know, this is sad that a lot of people are fighting against what they are actually procuring for themselves. Do you understand my point? To illustrate what I'm trying to say, let me tell you a story. A friend of mine told me a story once when he went to serve in the north, in Maiduguri. Now, Maiduguri is notorious for having a lot of flies. I don't know why it's like that, but they said I've never been there really. Said they have a lot of flies. So he said the first day he came out from the house he was staying, as soon as he came out, suddenly he noticed that flies were all over him. He ran and the flies were following him. So he ran back into the house, sniffed his clothes. It wasn't smelling, he thought. He had a bath that morning. He checked himself. He didn't step on any dung anywhere. So the guy wondered, what's going on here? So he said, well, peradventure, the flies are smelling something he can't. He removed his clothes and wore a new set. And according to him, he made the same mistake again. He sprayed perfume. Now, flies go after any kind of smell. Whether it's good or bad in human nose, it's not the issue. Flies go after any kind of smell. So as soon as he sprayed the perfume and stepped out again, then the flies came after him. Now, what am I trying to use that to illustrate here? He sprayed perfume and he was trying to drive away flies. When he finally got the gist, he went back home, wore a clean set of clothes without perfume this time around and came out. And the flies did not pursue after him. What am I saying? A lot of men who are struggling against failure that's pursuing them, they actually are inviting the failure by their deeds. Do you understand what I'm saying? Sin kills your ability to succeed. Look, sin is not a matter of whether God likes it or he doesn't like it. It's a poison to the human soul. It kills the ability to succeed in life. Now, so you see, You have a glorious destiny. God has proposed you for something good. Unfortunately, the devil also has a purpose, has a plan to wreck that destiny that God has for you. And you cannot just enter into God's destiny. Like we discussed in previous episodes, you can only enter it by purging yourself of all defilement of flesh and spirit. If you don't, what happens is that you step into Satan's purpose for your life. And you know, another thing I noticed, sometimes they seem to cross. What I mean is that the man succeeds a little and then he fails. Then inside his failure, he goes back to God, just like Israel used to do. When they're in captivity, they return back to God. And then God delivers them from captivity. Then when they have eaten and they are full, then they forget the name of the Lord who brought them out of captivity. So what happens? They return back to captivity. Do you understand my point? So you see, the man's life is succeeding. What am I bringing out here? Sin, all it does is to cripple you from succeeding as God had planned you to succeed. But this is God's purpose. God said, I have already created something great for you. It is not as if you by yourself are going to work out a glorious plan. No. What will happen is that if you cleanse yourself of all defilement of flesh and spirit, you begin to step into what God has planned for you. Do you understand my point? And God says, before you can fully step into it, I take you through earlier phases in life in which you prove your worthiness. You prove your ability to step into it. Now, God is the one who trains. You understand my point? Well, he's the one that will take you through the steps so that you will be ready. Let me, you know, if you remember the parables of Jesus Christ, he will tell you about the master who gave one talent or 10 talents or 5 talents to various ones or amongst his servants. Then, when they had done as their abilities reflected, as shown by the results, what did the master now do? He now put them in charge of cities. That is, when he was going out to take cities, he said, who will I put in charge of this, my cities? Remember, we said that the kingdoms of men belong to God. He gives them to whomsoever he wishes. You understand that point? Now, he now said, who will I put in charge? The way by which I will know the person I will put in charge is how they deal with the little I give them. Are you getting my point? What am I saying? What we call seed time, what we call the days of young manhood, when there are impulses in the heart and the desires of the eyes, what God is doing, there are two things. One, he's training you, and number two, he's testing you. All of these are what we call the seeds. That is how you relate with what God is doing in your life. It's what God will now use to decide whether he will put you in charge of one city or put in charge of 10 cities, or he will throw you out into outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. What does that mean? That as an old man, you will be poor and begging. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm explaining the point here that what we're actually doing is stepping into something glorious that God had proposed ahead of time. And I want you to understand this. God's plan cannot... Oh, this is like my favorite topic. It cannot be hindered by the things that are around. It can only be hindered by the non-readiness of your heart to receive it. Which brings me to the reason why we read our text scripture for today. The Bible says that God gave a promise and he took an oath in which it was impossible for God to lie. That's what I want to emphasize. The fact that it is impossible for God to lie. The Bible said that in God there is no variableness of shadow of turning. Those two, one day I studied those two expressions and I said, what do they mean? It appears to you and I that there is no variableness or shadow of turning means the same things. But in scriptural thoughts, it doesn't. When it says there is no variableness, what he was saying is this. God doesn't just change his mind because he doesn't want anymore. Once he has made a purpose, he has made it, nothing will change his mind. You can refuse to step into God's purpose, but God also still has that purpose to make you a great person. I wrote a little book on it. It's available free on our website to download. Your greatness has been prepared. That's how I titled that book. Your greatness has been prepared. Now, that's what it means that there is no variableness. When it says neither shadow of turning. Now, notice something here. Shadow, if you stand still and the sun moves, your shadow shifts. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, when he said neither shadow of turning, what he was saying is this, that the circumstances around cannot force him to change his mind. Oh, this is such an important message for Nigerians. That's why I always say it. Listen, the circumstances around do not determine God's purpose for you. It cannot change it. Listen to this. God knew those circumstances would be there before you were born. And in fact, he created you as a solution to those problems. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Listen, every day we complain, there is a problem here, there is a problem here. God says, I will never come down from heaven to solve that problem. What do I do? I first prepare a body. That is, there must be somebody that I will use to solve that problem. This is the thought of winners. This is how winners think. Winners think that where has God prepared my body for? That therein lies my glory. Listen to me. If Moses had turned out to be a Pharaoh in Egypt, we would never have read the story. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? I give an example some time ago that if our CBN governor of today, Professor Charles Soludo, had been an American, you and I would never have heard his name. But because he was a Nigerian, teaching in a Nigerian university and developing himself, listen to this, now Americans know his name. The whole of Europe, they know his name. Why? Because in the darkness that he was in, something was done. Darkness gave him the opportunity to have his light shine. You'll follow the point. Now, when his light shone, the whole world saw it because it was shining out of obscure darkness. And that is the thinking of winners. That is, where will my light shine? Because God, when he makes light, he does not send light into light to shine. Light is never appreciated where there is light. If you put on a candle in the afternoon, nobody notices that your candle is there. But when you are in depths of darkness and you light a little candle, everybody suddenly realizes that there is light there. What am I saying? No matter how little your light is, there is an opportunity for you to shine. There is something that just struck my mind now as I'm speaking. That when Jesus, I want you to notice this. When Jesus told the parable of the man that gave different talents to different people, different amounts, the Bible said he gave each one according to his ability. That is, God may not have made you a president, but he has made you a good school principal. Therefore, he will not make you a presidential candidate. A lot of presidential candidates are nothing but confused people. They have never handled their own businesses well. But God said, whichever little place I have placed you, do the work there well, and I will honor you as much as I will honor a president. Do you understand what I'm going to say here? It's important we get this point, that circumstances around don't change God's purpose for your life. If he has called you to be excellent, what you should be looking out for is a place where your excellence is. You know the interesting part that I like about God? He brings it down your doorsteps every day. You will see it, but blindness. The Bible said the God of this world has blinded the eyes of them that believe not. What am I saying? Satan, he entices people away from their destiny. You will see people who are gifted. Maybe the man was gifted when he was in secondary school in physics and designs. So he became an architect. And when he went there in architecture, look at it. He was excellent when he was in school. Not just because he was studying, but because inside him, like Bezalel in the Bible, God said, I have put the spirit of the craftsman. Then as soon as he leaves school, they tell him that jobs are hard for architects. So he said, you want to be designing what? Let me tell you, you will just die poor. Better go and meet your uncle to find you a job in the bank. You become a bank teller. And peradventure, one day you become a bank manager. And then the man sits down and he settles down and kills the gifting and the callings of God upon his life so that he can have temporal gain. And they say, no, what is paying now is telecom. What is your architecture? Listen to me. Your call in life is not dependent on what is paying right now. When I finished my postgraduate training, I told people, I am a teacher. I like to teach. When you go and look for a job here, and they say, no, I am going to look for work in a university because I like to teach. And God has shown himself faithful that when I teach, people respond. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Why? It is not because I am better than somebody else, but I am located dead in the center of my excellence. I like one thing one man of God used to say. He said, there is a place where you are outstanding. What are you doing where you are only average? Mike Murdock will say, when you leave the center of your strength, you move towards your weaknesses. You are following the point I'm making here. And that is the way life is. So what I'm saying is that God brings the opportunity your way every day for you to see the place that he has called you to be. The place of your destiny. For you to qualify yourself for it, he brings the opportunities every day. But people don't walk with God. They let Satan bait them away from their destinies. You are following what I'm saying here? We're saying in God, there is no shadow of turning. This job pays well.
or doesn't pay well does not change the fact that God has proposed you for it. And listen to this. The Bible says that whatever is born of God overcomes the world. If you step into where God has called you to be, you will affect your generation, and nobody will be able to look and say, that man made a mistake. He died a poor man. Never. It will never happen. God will beautify the things that people thought were base things. God will make them excellent. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make here? Remember those days when I was a much younger man, I never knew that football was an important thing. But then in Nigeria now, if a child is playing football, the parents are encouraging them. Again, they have stepped into the next era. Yes, there was a time there was no money in it, so nobody wanted to do it. Now we have stars who are earning millions and millions of naira every week. So everybody now wants his child to be a footballer. Unfortunately, that's another error. There is no guarantee that when those children grow up, there will still be money there. So in life, you shouldn't go around walking according to what is currently raining, because the Bible says that with God there is no shadow of turning, that the circumstances have not changed his purpose for your life. The place that he has called you to be excellent is still waiting for you to be excellent in. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? Listen, if you recognize this thing I'm saying, you will walk in life with a different attitude. That you recognize that God has prepared my body for a particular purpose. Jesus said, sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. That is, there is something you have sent me to do. He said, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O my God, thy law is within my heart. What does it mean when he says, thy law is within my heart? He means that there is something that you have called me to do, and that thing is inside my heart, directing my every step. Everywhere I go, I cannot help but notice something. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? That is, it helps me, it makes me compulsively do what the will of God is. I hope you are getting the point I'm making here. It's very important we get the point. That is, life must be lived with an understanding of the fact that I'm walking in life according to a purpose. That my future was prepared ahead of time. That what makes me an excellent person or makes me a failure is not how much money I make in doing the things that I do. It is how much I worked in a manner that conformed with God's purpose for my life. Do you understand what I'm saying here? That is, God's purpose is always glorious. It is always far beyond what you and I can ever imagine. There is something I noticed reading from Revelations, that it's the way by which God makes judgment. God has a book written for everybody in life, and that is a fact. If you go and read, like I was quoting earlier from Psalm 40 and from Psalm 139, David explained that God had a book written about my life. I hope you understand that point. He said, before I was born, in thy books, the days of my life were written. Now, when we're discussing about walking in the will of God, we emphasize something about God's will. That God's will is not that which is good in my eyes, or that way brings me more money in whatever I do. God's will is not that which I boldly testify about and see God is blessing me. No, that's not what necessarily God's will is. We said God's will is defined by one thing, that which is pleasing in the sight of God. Now, what I'm emphasizing today is for us to understand that we don't make up a new future, a new destiny for ourselves, because we're talking about building a great future today. What we're actually doing is qualifying ourselves today by our actions, by our works, for the destiny that God proposed for us to walk in even before we were born. And the degree to which we walk in it is what we decide whether we lived a life that was pleasing to God or not pleasing to God. I explained that God said, that David explained to us in the Psalms, that God has books for everybody. And this is the interesting part. If you go and read the principle of judgment in Revelation chapter 20, John in his vision explained that if you read verse 11, he said, then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, verse 12, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. Now, what I want you to understand here is this. When God is judging, there are books that he opens. And one thing you should understand is that the book he wrote before you were born is amongst the books that will be opened. And then the book that will be compared records the deeds you did on earth. And the value of those deeds are compared only in reference to the ones that were written before you were born. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is, if God proposed for you to to be a trainer of young men and a trainer of young women, to shape the lives of young men and young women, to make them depart from iniquity and step into their own excellent destinies. But because when you started in life, people say, people who teach, they never make it in life. Because of that, you depart from there and go into business looking for where people make it. At the end of the day, you made money. You became, in the eyes of many people, successful. Though in your own heart, you will know you were not. The Bible said that this is judgment. God will not say, how many people did you dash money? He will say, I created you to train young men and young women in the path of righteousness so that they might step into their own destinies, but you did not. You were out there chasing after money so that you will have a life that is pleasing to everybody. Therefore, you will be judged as a failure in life. I hope you are getting the point I'm making here. That is the principle of judgment. These are the things that helps a young man. These are the things that help a young woman make the right decisions in life. That you will understand that you are not living life so that you can get the best out of life, like some people say. But you are living life so that you can walk according to the purpose which God wrote before you were born. That way you will be given the best in life. That is, you will be the one giving out the best in life. And your life will be counted as having been successful or having been a failure of a life according to how much you walked in that way that conformed with God's plan for your life before you were born. I hope you understand that point. And let me close by emphasizing this again. I just want to summarize everything we have been saying. This is how it goes. God had a plan for your life before you were born, and you were given birth primarily to fulfill that purpose of God for your life. And when you step into that, the Bible will say you have stepped into the glory of God. But Satan's purpose is to cause you to step out of that purpose, that is, out of the purpose of God. And the way by which he does it is to entice you into iniquity. Do you understand my point? Because sin is what makes people fall short of God's glory. And while he's doing that, God's purpose is to train you so that you can qualify to step into that place. In the days of young manhood, God is giving you experiences. God is giving you instructions. Then he gives you tests and trials. It's how you respond in those tests and trials that will decide whether you have qualified yourself for that purpose that God had planned for you before you were born. And once you have found it, once you have stepped into it, and you're walking in God's purpose, Jesus said, my food or my satisfaction will come from doing the will of him that sent me and finishing his work. What does it mean by satisfaction? That if it is money I want in life, I will find it. If it is children I want in life, it's a wife I want in life, it's a husband I want in life, I will find them. If it's prosperity I want in life, anything that will bring satisfaction to my soul, I will discover it. Anything that I discover outside this will never bring me satisfaction. Do you understand my point? So what we are discussing is how to get satisfaction when you step into your future. You get the right thoughts. You get the right ideas. You walk in the right manner today, and your tomorrow will never be average. I hope you understand that.
In this series, here are more words from Pastor Banky.
A man is imprisoned or set free by the words of his mouth. Words generate spiritual forces in the air that either bring good to you or repel them from you. And if you keep speaking negative things, you will find out that you will be attracting evil into your life. There is what I call excuses for Satan. They are the explanations we give why our lives will never go well. They are the explanations we give that Satan uses to keep us in bondage. What you do not have cannot stop you from prospering. The main reason why you are not prospering is because you have been using those things as excuses to speak, and you have been agreeing with Satan that you will never move forward. Don't ever forget this. A man is ensnared by the words of his mouth. The most powerful words that can be issued forth in life is a repetition of the word of God spoken with conviction, because you are repeating the words that created the heavens and the earth. When you speak it with conviction, you ignite spiritual forces to start moving.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org. or P.O. Box 2273, Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.